We're in Ephesians 3. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 14. Paul declares he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And you wonder, well, why? And part of the reason that he was a prisoner of Christ is to bring us Gentiles into a relationship with our Lord. God uses Paul, he uses Peter to bring Gentiles into the fold, into the heritage of Jesus. We can be fellow heirs in the body of Christ because of these apostles and because of Jesus himself. It's easy for us Gentiles to believe Christ wanted us. It's a natural thing because we like being part of the promises that apply to us through Jesus. For centuries, though, the Jews considered themselves special, even God's chosen people, and that still goes on today. And they were God's people because the law was given to Moses. They were born of the seed of Abraham. And this was a pride issue with many Jews. The Jewish priesthood and the scribes and so forth managed to add to the Mosaic law, however. They added to the law to the point where the average Jew did not know all the amendments that were added to the law, much less be obedient to the law. So there are religious groups today that add to religious edicts, religious teachings of Scripture, and they impose their own thoughts in how we are to live. A very popular teaching going through the Christian church today is prosperity. Be all you can be in Jesus. You know, you're the king's kid. You know, you deserve that better life, etc. But the Catholic Church no longer enforce biblical doctrine, but they enforce traditions of their church. And only the high-up leaders within the Catholic Church know where the church is headed. What direction are they going? For instance, recently, Catholic priests are allowed to bless homosexual couples. They can't marry them, but they can bless them. Kind of a dichotomy. But we see the Catholic Church caving in to modern thinking. Now, I like the fact that the Catholic Church stood for no abortions. I thought, well, that's a good thing to take a stance on. They didn't believe in abortion, but even they're caving in now, even on the abortion issue. But as Christian believers, we're to use God's word. We're to use the Bible. The scriptures are, quote unquote, our manifesto of guidance. The Lord give us the scriptures. We're to be in the scriptures. Because we see modern thinking caving into the whims of sociologists, psychologists, and so forth. And we see the standard is constantly changing within the world of what a healthy person is to believe and think. The church, the Christian church, should be solid in biblical principles. That's what we're called to. We're to be solid. We're to be light in a dark place. And Paul states, we, the church, should be about the promises of Christ in and through the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be about. So let's read Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 13. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, that grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the insatiable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. What a thing to say. Paul, a chosen apostle of Christ Jesus. And he says, I am less than the least of all the saints. Paul's calling shows the grace of God. Our Lord took a person that was a persecutor of the early church, and he turns him around. And at Paul's conversion, Jesus says to Paul, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And Paul says, well, who are you, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus. And Paul becomes a great ambassador for Jesus. However, Paul considered himself to be the least of all the saints. I thought about that. If Paul claims to be the least, who in the world am I? You know, that's a humbling declaration by Paul. But Paul refers to the mysteries, and he now sees to the Gentiles who believe are joined together with believing Jews into one body of Christ, into one church. Differences should not exist among fellow believers. We should be in agreement. This war that Israel has found themselves in make us look at the Jews in our feelings towards the Jews. Not necessarily believing Jews, but the Jews as God's people. He chose them. As a Christian, I believe we are to honor and support Israel simply because they are God's chosen people. You don't need any other reason than that. God said, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. The gospel, or through the gospel, all of mankind is on an equal status. We're all human beings. Paul declaring, he is the least of the saints. But by God's grace, Paul preaches the fullness of Christ, the riches of Christ. Paul's message was not deep or complicated. It was very simplistic. He says, I preach or proclaim that God's goodness was manifested in and through Jesus. Paul, when he made his journey to Athens, he says, I've determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wanted to lay out a simplistic, heartfelt message. Have you ever had moments of clarity? I get them once in a while. Have you ever been in awe of how Jesus delights to forgive? Now think about that. He delights to forgive. We can be sorrowful of our sinful behavior, and we can miss that Jesus wants to forgive us. Jesus desires that we would repent. Why? So he can forgive us. The forgiveness of our Lord, it's really a mystery to some. I think we've all heard, what could a man dying 2,000 years ago on a cross have to do with me today? Everything. For oftentimes, we want to demonstrate to our Lord how sorrowful we are for having sinned. So what do we do? Well, Lord, I'm going to pray longer starting tomorrow. And I'm going to read your word a little more often and a little longer than usual. And when all the Lord really wants for us is to believe and to repent. That's what he desires out of us. But faith comes into focus when we simply accept forgiveness. Because you have to accept forgiveness by faith. The mystery for us who believe, God wants us to boldly come to Jesus for forgiveness. He doesn't want us to carry the burden of sin. He wants to forgive us. We must have faith that he does forgive us to have fellowship with our Lord. When we sin, especially unrepented sin, we break our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to think with me here for a moment. It was the plan of God the Father that Jesus would suffer the cross before creation. Before the worlds or before we ever existed, God had the plan of the cross in mind. Therefore, we see mercy given by God before Jesus went to the cross. Before he suffered, he had mercy on us. The Father looked upon sinful man, and out of compassion for our condition, he had mercy on us, and the plan of salvation was implemented. Recently, I heard on YouTube, I watch YouTube a lot, a Jewish rabbi speaks of man fulfilling God's plan of mercy by man being sinful, eating the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. So we prompted God to be forgiving. This rabbi went on to declare, Eve knowingly sinned so God could show mercy. He gives Eve a lot more credit than I do. And God's mercy was needed to demonstrate the goodness of God. Well, I can understand that. But I cannot give Eve that sort of godly thinking that she knew ahead of time to sin that would bring about forgiveness. No, I don't buy that. I simply believe Adam and Eve sinned because it was in their DNA. They were rebelled because they were human. God has a plan to redeem mankind even before Adam and Eve sinned. Before sin ever entered, he had a plan. Because nothing is hidden from God. He knows the future, the present, and the past. And it's all ever-present before him. God did not learn about Adam and Eve and their character when they sinned. He already knew their character. But even before sin had entered into man, God had a plan of how to redeem man. The cross of Christ was not a secondary fix for sinful man. But God in his mercy, he had a plan. And God's plan before the foundation of the world was redemption. In John 17, we read of Jesus' prayer for us. And in 17:24 through 26, let me read it to you. We'll read of the intimate prayer that Jesus had for us, for you and I. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, and with that love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. What a prayer by our Lord. We get insight into the plan of God when Jesus prays for us. Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. And then Jesus ends his prayer in verse 26, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus, our high priest, prays for us believers to know the love of God and the love of Jesus as demonstrated between God the Father and God the Son. He wants that kind of love to be in our hearts and lives for the Godhead. So love, heavenly love, is to be in us, it is to be part of us, and it was prayed for by Jesus for us. In the book of Ephesians, we're in the third chapter, but in the first chapter, there's an interesting passage. And that's in chapter 1, verses 3-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, through the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, we have Paul making a declarative statement there, but focus upon this. God chose us before the foundations of the world. That choosing goes back before creation, before the earth was made, before Adam and Eve, before sin entered into the heart of man. Excuse me. God chose us while we're in our mother's womb. God had a plan to adopt us as his children according to the good pleasure of his will. So I have a question. Where does the free will of man fit into this? I'd like to use a term that is, we have a limited free will. Have you ever wondered why some people believe like ourselves unto salvation and others are oblivious to God? You ever thought that through a little bit? I was born into a Christian home here in America. So God chose my parents before I was even born. He chose my parents, and he chose to put me in that home. And what did I do to receive or be believing in God? Very little. But I do have a free will, and you have a free will. Yet each of us express our free will in a limited way. Because without God enlightening our hearts, we would never choose God. We choose God because he showed us the truth of himself. But God's choosing considers our free will. God, knowing that we would choose him and his plan, predestined us to himself. Predestined. So how do we live, move, and walk in our predestination? You've been predestined to believe in God. I thank God for orchestrating the circumstances before me so I would choose him and follow after him, and you have that same thankful heart. There is a verse in Revelation 4:11, and I like how the old King James reads in this verse, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." This one verse sums up the reasons we are here and the reasons we are alive. We were created for the pleasure of God. Very simple. This verse declares that the responsibility we have as mankind to bring God, our Creator, pleasure. We're to give him joy. And until a person realizes why they even have life given by God, they're in opposition to God. God takes pleasure in the redeemed. But a person who doesn't believe can be floundering. It's like a fish out of water, just flopping around with no direction. That's how we are before we come to an understanding and believing in our heart of our Lord. We just kind of flop around. God has more for us than just to go through our daily routines. So the challenge to us, the predestined ones, bring God our Maker pleasure. Bring him pleasure. When we believe, we delight our Heavenly Father and we bring him pleasure and joy. He delights in us, his people. Our Creator is pleased when we, by faith, devote ourselves to him. And that brings up the verse, "For without faith it is impossible to please God." So we are pleasing to God by believing in God and realizing he predestined us to believe. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And Lord, each of us, in our own way, want to bring you joy and pleasure. We want to show you that we're grateful, that we have a heart of gratitude towards you for your goodness to us, Lord. So help us. Help us to be about you and your kingdom. Help us to be about things that have eternal consequences. Lord, you've chosen us. We are your people, and we give you honor and glory, and we praise your name. For you're a good God, and you saw fit to reveal yourself to us. Lord, we will be eternally grateful for the truth that you revealed yourself to us, and then you gave us a heart to believe. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we no longer oppose you, that we can walk in obedience to your scriptures, to your word, and Lord, that we can please you with our lives. So we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be about you and your kingdom. Help us to realize the goodness that you offer us of just having a life of meaning. And thank you, Lord, for having to plan a salvation before this world was ever created, before man ever stepped foot on this earth. You had a plan of how to redeem us, and we give you thanks for that. So be with us, Lord, and let us walk in your pleasure and in your goodness. And we pray in Jesus' name.